Time for the County National Bank radio program. Melissa Strady and Bill Jors on the hotline. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Greg. We're still both at our houses, I believe. I cannot get out. But,
Zoom. This is the Zoom show, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
It probably would be easier if we could see each other. But, no, just waiting to get the driveway plowed and get out so we can get back to work. But it's been a busy couple of months. With our second round PPP would probably be the thing, along with mortgages. We're busiest at right now. We've had 468 total PPP applications. We've closed 359 of them for another $68 million on the street. So it's nice. Been a very good program, has provided a lot of support for our local businesses that have been struggling through this pandemic. And if you are in need or curious about the process, give us a call and we'll be able to walk you through it. I was closing a commercial loan for customers of mine, and they had been with a competing bank and had just never tried or inquired because they thought it would be too complicated or they wouldn't qualify or so forth. But they've got the money, and very pleased they walked into County National. So if you're out there, one, give us a call. Especially if you're not with us, a lot of our current customers have applied and have taken advantage of it. But if you have not, and your business is struggling, we certainly want to see you keep your doors open and give any of our commercial lenders a call.
Absolutely. And, Bill, I think it's important, too, that a lot of our business owners know it's not a specific type of company that may or may not apply for this. So we've got a lot of sole proprietors out there that have taken advantage. And, whether you're a corporation, LLC, sole proprietor, give us a call. Let us see what we can do to help.
And again, we need to thank our local CPAs. They've played a pivotal part in assisting their clients and getting the applications filled out and being proactive and reaching out to them. So thanks to all the help of help from that arena, and keep them coming, and we'll get them processed best we can. Also, if you haven't applied for forgiveness from the first round, you still have time, but that's something you do not want to forget. We've been emailing and contacting the recipients of the first round to make sure that's on their radar, and most all of them that I know of have been forgiven. I don't know of a single one that has been denied forgiveness. And so that has also gone pretty smoothly.
Yep. Yeah. And I do know, we've got a great team of now PPP forgiveness experts that can help answer any questions. And like you said, Bill, our CPAs have been wonderful throughout all this, whether they're helping clients get the application submitted with the documentation needed, or whether they're helping with the forgiveness piece as well. So huge shout out to them. I agree with you.
And speaking of applications, that's something we wanted to talk about a little bit today. Different types of loans require different types of applications. And I'll start with, we in the commercial loan world get asked, hey, send me out an application. To much of their surprise, commercial lending doesn't really have a formal loan application. Your application would consist of the information we ask of you, and typically that is your, 2-3 years. We like to see 3 years of tax returns, both on the business and your personal tax returns. Lots of times we get asked, why do you want to see our personal returns? Well, we typically will have most all of our commercial loans personally guaranteed. If all else fails, you need to honor your obligation to the bank personally. And we also take that income that you derive from owning a business and include it in your cash flow. We also run a credit report on the business owners to make sure that their personal obligations are being met and to get an idea of their debt load. Sometimes that's indicative of the strength of the business. You've got a lot of personal debt out there. You know, you're obviously going to be taking it out of your business and to meet your personal obligations. And also, last but not least, probably the most important part of a commercial loan application in our world, due to the personal nature of the guarantees, is a personal financial statement. And that is something that I think is sometimes not filled out correctly or completely. And I can tell you that's something when we get to loan committee, especially at the board of director level, they like to see those filled out as completely as possible to get an understanding of how you manage your own personal finances, your personal net worth, and how you keep your own house in order would be indicative of how you keep your business in order. So commercial world, we typically will ask everything from tax returns. If it's this time of year, we typically will ask for a year to date. A lot of tax returns are in process, but it's not really indicative of the present situation going back to 2019 tax returns. And so, you know, QuickBooks, year to date, internal profit and loss and balance sheets, those are also very crucial to provide depending on the time of year it is. So, and then Melissa can touch on consumer mortgage application.
Yeah, and I wanted to say, too, I remember when I was going through some of my training with, you know, learning commercial loans and attending loan committees, there was a spot on the personal financial statement for life insurance. And I remember thinking, why does that matter? You know, why do we need to know if this person has life insurance or not? And, I mean, it becomes more and more obvious as you're getting going with it, you know, because I'm used to just looking at a consumer loan application where it's, you know, what assets do you have and what liabilities? And life insurance, when it comes to being an owner of a company or a borrower for a company loan, very important. Wouldn't you agree, Bill?
Yes, that is also another thing that we suggest or we require lots of times of a closely held business, of a key man in the business. If something should happen to you, we would have life insurance proceeds. Your family would be better off. And it is a good way to protect yourself and your family. And we do require it in a lot of instances. In some instances, when the business owners are young or there are multiple business owners or there's a good succession plan. We had guests on the radio last week, a fifth generation. They're all under 40 years old. We would typically not require life insurance. It's a good idea, but it's not always required. But lots of times it makes sense, and it's easy to explain the benefits of having life insurance pledged to the bank against your debt. I've had three or four instances where business owners have died and those proceeds had saved the day, provided money for their survivors, and it's a good idea. Lots of times if you have two business owners, they carry life insurance on each other, and it's assigned to each other. Mm-hmm. We've seen it before, and so if you don't have life insurance, good idea to contact your agent. We work with some pretty closely and would have recommendations. But any life insurance that's from a good, decent rated insurance company, we typically would accept. And it may not all be assigned to the bank. You may have a $1 million insurance policy, and we would require $250,000 of it assigned. But whatever in relation to the debt we have, you typically will dictate that. So that's a great point, and something I think most applicants don't realize how closely we do look at that.
Yeah, yep. And I think once it's explained, to our customers and they are filling that out, it's kind of like an aha moment, right? That makes sense. I'm not absolutely going to leave my partner or, my spouse with the responsibility of trying to figure out how to cover the company debt with me not there. Very important. Thanks.
And I know our trust department also uses that lots of times as a financial planning tool for when you do pass away. Mm-hmm. So that's another good reason to have it as part of your overall estate plan.
Yeah, great point. That's an excellent point. Yeah. On the consumer side, there's a little less information required. I won't get too deep into mortgage here in a little bit, but the consumer side, I think, Bill and I have been to a couple of different classrooms now teaching personal finance to some of our juniors and seniors in high school. And I think one of the coolest things that we do is we bring in a blank application and we go through it with them. We talk to students about what's going to be asked when you are applying for a loan. And I sometimes forget that, even next generation may not be aware of the different information that we would be looking for when applying for a loan. The basics for a consumer loan that we're looking for is the ability to cover the payment. Another piece of it is your credit history. Now, I know Bill and I talk a lot on the radio about, the great thing about County National Bank it isn't just putting an application into the computer system and the computer system choosing if we either, deny a loan or whether we do it. We take a very holistic approach, look at all avenues when it comes to approving a loan, whether that's consumer, commercial, whatever. But on the consumer side, when it comes to payment history, some of the things that we're looking at on your credit history is, have you had installment loans before? Have you been past due on any of those? We also look at the ability to cover the debt. So, we want some current pay stubs. Typically, it's 2 months worth of your pay stubs or your W-2 for the previous year. And we're looking at, can you handle what the car payment would be or the boat payment or the home equity payment when that gets added on to your debt load? So those are pieces as far as the debt side of it. When it comes to time on job, that's important as well. And actually, Bill, you can, if you want to touch base on any of this too, time on job was something that we look at, but it's also we listen. 2020 was a year all on its own when it comes to employment and history. Maybe you had just started a job and then it closed due to COVID. Just because those different avenues happen doesn't necessarily mean that that would be an automatic denial in our eyes for a consumer loan. And Bill, I don't know if you want to speak to, previous years.
Well, when you mention holistic approach and looking at the complete application, that's going to become more and more valuable as we get past this period, I would say, of a lot of people had income interruption, a lot of people had job loss, didn't work as much, and there are going to be gaps in employment. There are going to be some missed payments. There are going to be the art of making a loan is going to take a little bit more than just looking at a credit score. And, that's the good thing about County National Bank. We have human beings looking at every application. We don't have any type of automated system. And, you know, if you're struggling, if you're wondering, the best thing to do is to call and talk to your lender and explain the circumstances. And underwriting a loan, there's something that happens all the time, or it's things beyond your control. And if illness happens, if your plant closes without notice, if there's a pandemic, there are real life things that happen to everyone at some point in life. And how you work through that is going to be indicative of how you handle your credit. One of the worst excuses you can provide is divorce. That, to me, is not a reason to let your credit go. That is something you need to keep on top of throughout that process until it's over. And you also need to make sure that, you know, the obligations are split up, but until they are done and the divorce is final, those loans need to be kept current. And that was something within your control. Mm-hmm. And so there are items that you may feel were beyond your control, but it really happened to be your personal life that you didn't manage that well. Other things such as illness, plant closing, so forth, we can understand and document and, you know, offset a poor credit score. If you had good credit leading up to that event and that event triggered some bad credit, then we document it and we move on. We can see it was an isolated incident, but if it's a pattern, multi-year, multi-late payment, missed payments, collections, then it's a different story. So I would, you know, because you think you have bad credit but was caused by something beyond your control, don't let that stop you from applying, especially at your community bank. You know, credit unions are good at consumer lending as well. And, you know, most all of us will take into account real life happenings, and we're going to need to going forward after this past year.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just goes to show as well that we are not collaterally based lenders, right, or asset based lenders. We're not only looking at the value of a vehicle or a boat or a home. You know, there's other key factors that come into play, which again ties back to the holistic approach of approving a loan. So
the collateral is probably the last thing we look at. I don't know how many times I've had somebody come in and say, hey, I'm pledging a $100,000 house. I only want $20,000. What's the big deal? Well, that does not offset the credit risk of that $20,000 if you have poor credit or have a record of, you know, poor behavior when it comes to credit. So an abundance of collateral will not get you loan approval on its own. It's something called, you know, asset-based lending. We don't do that. We don't want your assets. We don't want the house back. Mm-hmm. To pay your bills, and that's how we need to protect our depositor money and our shareholder interest. So that is another big fallacy that's out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you have any other questions about if you qualify for a loan, feel free to reach out to any of our branches, or you can reach Bill at
768-0056.
And I'm available 782-5540.